Dr. Findlay's Casebook. We present Andrew Cruikshank as Dr. Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Dr. Findlay in another story about the characters created by A.J. Cronin. This week, Wise Men Stay Silent, written by John Graham.
Ah, you're very cheerful this morning, Dr. Cameron. Janet's porridge even better than usual?
I have just received an invitation, Dr. Finlay.
Not another medical conference in Glasgow.
No, a social invitation from Sir Archie and Lady Beaton, no less.
The Nobs at Craig End House, eh?
The distinguished archaeologist and his charming wife, yes. Sir Archie's recent book on the chambered cairns of Scotland will become a classic.
Oh?
A remarkably lucid and readable work. You're welcome to borrow it, Dr. Finlay.
No, I don't think it's my cup of tea, but thanks all the same. And talking of tea, you've nearly finished it.
Sir Archie is well aware of my interest in archaeology, purely as layman, of course. Many's a long talk we've had together. I dare say that's why I've been invited to their garden party on the 24th. The event is to celebrate their daughter's engagement. A few chosen friends will be there.
Oh, glad to know that you're one of the select few.
Perhaps you'd be kind enough to make a note in the diary that I will not be available on that afternoon.
The 24th. Well, that's a wee bit awkward.
Awkward, Dorothy?
Yes, because, you see, I've been invited to the Beaton's garden party, too.
You have? Is that so? Oh. I wasn't aware that you knew them socially.
Good morning, Dr. Finlay. Here is your porridge.
All right, thanks, Janet.
Excuse me, Dr. Cameron, but I was wondering if I could have the afternoon off on the 24th of this month.
That might be rather inconvenient, Janet. Sir Archie and Lady Beaton have invited a few chosen friends, including myself.
And a few acquaintances, including myself.
To a garden party on that afternoon.
In honor of their daughter Annabella's engagement. Uh-huh.
Oh, you know about it, Janet?
Oh, yes, I know all about it. I've been invited to.
You have? Hmm. Well.
My invitation came yesterday. Huh? I'm looking forward to it, I must say.
So are we. And I'm glad to know that you're one of their select few chosen friends. Eh, Dr. Cameron?
Just so.
It's going to be a grand affair. 400 guests, I hear. Jimmy Munro, the grocer's going, Mrs. Cooper and her bairns, even Posty Johnston and old Sandy Thin.
In the circumstances, you may have the afternoon off on the 24th, Janet.
Ah, well, just shut up shop that day.
Mrs. McCall, the dressmaker's going to make me a new dress for the party.
A new dress? It's of no holding you.
I may even buy a new hat.
And a new hat? Well, I can't wait.
Thank you, Janet. We'll have a pot of fresh tea when you're ready.
You mean to say, Mrs. McCall, you're not going to accept your invitation?
I'll not be going. Oh. Indeed, no, Miss McPherson. Just hold still and I'll pin the hem at the back.
But it's going to be a lovely party. It's the Beaton's way of getting the townsfolk to meet their daughter's fiancé.
I'm aware of that.
Oh, Annabella's a lovely lassie. They're to be married in Edinburgh at St. Giles.
Let's hope the roof doesn't fall in.
Whatever do you mean?
She's marrying a German, Miss McPherson.
Yes, I know. Mr. Kellerman. A handsome young man, they say, with plenty of money.
My man was killed in the war, Miss McPherson, by the Germans. So that's why I'm not to be there. And there's a few others who think the way I do.
Mrs. McCall, the war was over in 1918. Mr. Kellerman would just have started school 13 years ago.
That's as may be. Hold still now, and I'll pin the back. Why should she not marry a decent Scotsman?
But perhaps there wasn't a decent Scotsman on that cruise to Egypt. That's where they met, you know. She went with her parents to see those great pyramid things.
She'd have been better off staying at home, instead of gallivanting off to dirty foreign places, and falling for that Hun.
Shame on you, Mrs. McCall. You're talking as if he was the Kaiser himself.
What do you think, then?
I think we should forgive and forget.
No. What do you think of the length of the dress?
Oh, it's just right, Mrs. McCall. Just exactly right.
He's a German.
I'm aware of that.
I wonder why Annabelle...
has chosen to marry a German.
Well, some tongues are beginning to wag.
Yeah, that won't worry the young couple. Being attracted to each other, they ignored the barriers of nationality.
Some people seem unable to forget the past.
Annabelle and her fiancé will have no concern with the past.
I hope you're right.
Look not mournfully into the past, Dr. Finley. It comes not back again. Wisely improve the present.
Is that Shakespeare or Cameron?
Longfellow, Dr. Finley.
You've done wonders in a week, Mrs. McCall. It's coming along very nicely. The full sleeves give it real style. Now, what would you say about fringe round the bodice?
Not much. Oh. It would spoil the line.
Are you there, Mrs. McCall?
Oh, that's Mr. Dunoon.
Mr. Dunoon?
My new paying guest. He's a commercial traveller, a real nice man. Arrived 2 days ago.
I'm in the parlour. Come away in.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had a visitor.
That's quite all right. Miss McPherson, may I introduce Mr. Dunoon?
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure, Miss McPherson. I don't wish to interrupt, but I just wanted to ask you, Mrs. McCall, if there was a doctor nearby you could recommend.
Well, now, there's a coincidence. Miss McPherson here keeps house for Dr. Cameron and Dr. Finley.
Yes, that's so, Mr. Dunoon, and I'm sure either doctor would gladly see you.
There's nothing ailing you, is there?
I'm afraid I'm one of those unhappy beings who can't sleep. In a word, insomnia.
A terrible affliction.
I just wanted to have the prescription from a sleeping draught renewed.
Dr. Finley's my doctor, Mr. Dunoon. He did wonders for my chest last winter. He'd see you, I'm sure, eh, Miss McPherson?
He starts his surgery at 9 o'clock in the morning at Arden House. Turn left out of here, and it's on the corner past the church.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure.
I hardly slept a wink last night. They were in the wood again at the back of the house, Mrs. McCall.
Who were?
You didn't hear them. There were soldiers moving amongst the trees.
Soldiers? Oh, surely there are no soldiers in Tannock Bay. Oh,
but there are. I watched them, and two of them were standing below my bedroom window.
No.
And they were whispering in a foreign language.
Oh, very peculiar. Whispering? Did you catch what they were saying?
No, but although I don't speak the language myself, I'm certain that they were speaking German.
So, insomnia, is it?
I'm tormented by it, Doctor.
What's your job, Mr. Dunoon?
I'm a commercial traveller, ladies' silk stockings of a very superior quality, may I say, guaranteed to last longer than any other brand of the same
yes,
price.
Yes, 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 quite.
I'm making Tannock Bay my centre for the next few weeks.
Tell me, do you have any business worries?
None whatsoever, not a care in the world. Oh, no, no,
or,
no.
Or family worries, perhaps?
I have no family ties, being a bachelor. Oh, there was a young lady, but when I came back from the war, she'd married. Just as well for her sake, maybe. I was gassed in France. It took me a year or two to recover. The damage the Germans did didn't end on Armistice Day, Doctor.
Mm. I'll renew your prescription. I see it's chloral hydrate you've been having.
It seems to do the trick.
Right. Well, there you are, then. Now, I've only prescribed a small amount. It'll keep you going for a month or so.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm obliged.
Good day to you, Mr. Dunoon. Miss McPherson will show you out.
Excuse me, Dr. Finley, but I left my notes on Mrs. McKenzie, the main farm in here.
We're finished, Dr. Cameron. Come in.
There. Did you hear that, Doctor?
What?
The pipes.
Pipes?
Bagpipes. They've stopped now. That'll keep them away.
I didn't hear any bagpipes.
Oh, I must have been mistaken. Goodbye, Doctor. I'll see myself out, thanks.
Who's that, Dr. Finley?
A commercial traveller in silk stockings. He wanted a prescription renewed.
He might be better off having his ears syringed. He looked very flushed and blotchy, too.
Oh, I'd guess he's too fond of lifting the elbow, alone on the road with time in his hands.
I managed to get the dress finished.
It's beautiful, Mrs. McCall, just exquisite.
Though I say it myself, you'll be the belle of that garden party on Friday.
Oh, all eyes will be on Annabella Beaton.
Aye, and on that German of hers.
Oh, now, now, Mrs. McCall, I refuse to be drawn into an argument about the pros and cons.
I see no more than, but the past can't be blotted out as if it never happened.
Mrs. McCall!
Mrs. McCall!
Good gracious, Mr. Dunoon, what's the matter?
Quick, take a look out of the window. No, wait. Don't let them see me. They're out there again, in the wood.
Who's out there?
Them. Go on, see for yourself.
I don't see anybody, nor me.
They've skulked away again. There was one outside my bedroom window talking, I swear to you, and another lurking among the trees like a grey weasel.
Well, I promise you there's not a soul out there now, Mr. Dunoon. Oh,
thank God for that. I'd better sit down for a minute. So hot.
Yes, you just sit quietly, Mr. Dunoon. You don't look at all well. I'll go through and make us all a strong cup of tea.
I'll come and give you a hand, Mrs. McCall.
They'll not find me. I'll be all right in here.
Well, what a state he's in. Come into the kitchen, Miss MacPherson. What do you make of it?
In my opinion, and mind you, I have no medical qualifications.
Oh, but you've got the background. Go on.
It is my diagnosis, and I'll be as tactful as I can.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Dunoon is as drunk as a lord.
I don't attend many garden parties, but I cannot imagine anything finer than this, Annabella.
It was very good of you to spare the time to come to our party. May I introduce my fiancé, Klaus? This is Dr. Cameron, an old family friend.
I am most pleased to meet you, Doctor.
Congratulations, you both. And may you have many years of happiness together.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're a lucky man, Herr Kellerman.
That is so. You have known Annabella for many years, yes?
When we first met, she kicked me in the stomach.
Dr. Cameron.
Furthermore, on that same occasion, I reciprocated by delivering a sharp smack on her posterior.
How is this so?
Oh, Klaus, don't look so worried. It was 19 years ago, on the day I was born.
Yes.
And the bonny baby has turned into an even bonnier young woman.
I will agree with that most wholeheartedly.
Klaus.
What do you think of Scotland, Herr Kellerman?
Oh, it is most beautiful, especially here in Tenochbrae. I love the woods and hills.
Klaus goes for long walks every morning before breakfast.
Well done.
But after we're married, he'll have to change his ways.
Well, Janet, are you enjoying yourself?
I certainly am, Dr. Finlay.
I must say, that's a grand hat.
Oh, you like it? Posty Johnston was saying he's never seen anything like it.
Oh, well, it's unusual, I'll say that.
Oh, your glass is empty, Miss MacPherson.
Oh, I could not take any more, Miss Beaton. I feel the ground jumping up and down beneath my feet already.
Oh, it's a grand party, Miss Beaton. Nearly the whole of Tenochbrae must be here.
Yes, we're very honored.
And everyone has been most kind to me, even though I am a foreigner.
Well, I think you'll find that the folk here will accept a stranger for what he is.
Let's all forget that awful war.
Aye. Quite.
Yeah. I mean to say, there are good Germans and bad
Germans. Yes. Well, we've been very lucky with the weather, haven't we?
And good Scots and bad Scots.
Miss MacPherson is quite right. There is a saying in my country, alle Länder guter Menschen tragen.
Fancy that, no?
It means every country produces good men.
Very true. Let us forget the past, I say.
To the future. Your future.
Bless you both.
Thank you.
Excuse me, Miss Annabella.
Yes, Jessie.
There's been a telephone call for Dr. Finlay.
He's here, you better tell him.
Dr. Finlay, that was Mistress McCall on the telephone. She says her lodgers look very bad. Can you go and see him at once? She says it's urgent.
Oh, Dr. Finlay, don't say you have to leave us.
Well, it sounds like a pressing call. I'd better go along and see what's wrong.
Thank you, Jessie.
Bye.
Well, you must promise to come back.
Oh, that's very kind. So, if you'll all forgive me.
We'll see you later then, Doctor.
Who's that? Who's there?
It's the doctor, I told you.
Oh, yes, it is you, Doctor. We were in the woods again, you know, and that tall one was outside the window waiting and whistling.
Have you been drinking, Mr. Deneuve?
Drinking? I've been a teetotaler all my born days. A teetotaler all my born...
What's wrong with him now?
He's asleep, Mrs. McCall.
He's been blethering on about soldiers round the house and in the woods. Germans, he says.
Have you seen anything odd out there?
Not a soul. And I keep telling him that. It's beginning to give me the creeps. He was shouting and moving about the house at 2 o'clock this morning. I don't think the medicine he takes is doing him any good.
Medicine?
Aye. He's got a cupboard full of bottles. I shouldn't be praying. It's his room. But when I was cleaning in here yesterday, I saw them. Here, have a look.
Good God.
What is it?
Where did he get all these bottles from?
He said you'd prescribed a sleeping draught.
Oh, I did, but he's got 3, 4, 5... He's got 6 bottles of the stuff in here.
Some are almost empty.
Well, Mrs. McCall, he's in a deep sleep. I don't think he'll bother you for a while. But I'll come in first thing in the morning. There are quite a few questions I want to ask Mr. Dunoon.
Don't look so gloomy, Klaus. You're surely not bored with the party.
Not so, Liebchen. I'm a little tired, that is all.
You shouldn't have gone walking in the woods before breakfast.
Let us move into the shade. My eyes.
They're troubling you again.
It's nothing. Just the bright sunshine.
We'll go into the marquee, then. But first I must go and rescue Father. He's trapped over there with the McTavish sisters. They talked the hind leg off a donkey. Be with you in a moment.
Well, Herr Kellerman, I hear to be married in the noble church of St. Giles.
In Edinburgh, that is so, yes.
A most elegant and convivial city.
Dr. Cameron, may I speak with you?
But certainly.
Forgive me, please, for introducing a professional matter into a social occasion such as this, but there is something of importance of which I wish to speak.
By all means. What is it?
I meant as patient to doctor. Perhaps tomorrow?
When would you like me to call?
No, it would be better if I came to see you.
Sergey, shall we say 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, then?
I am most grateful. Tomorrow morning, yes. It is most urgent.
Feeling a lot better this morning, Doctor. I'll say that. I didn't wake till 7. I had a grand night's sleep.
You certainly did. You were asleep for nearly 15 hours. Since 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon? I don't remember.
Oh, I'm not surprised. You've been dosing yourself with chloral, haven't you?
Stuff you gave me helps right enough.
I prescribed a small amount, Mr. Dunoon. But you've got bottles of it, haven't you?
I like to keep a wee drop in reserve, you see.
A wee drop? You've got enough in that cupboard to send a battalion of Gordon Highlanders to sleep.
Insomnia's an awful thing. I need sleep.
If you go on overdosing yourself, you'll sleep all right. Till the day of judgment.
I worry, you see.
Listen, you told me you hadn't a care in the world.
I suppose that wasn't quite the truth.
Well, let's have the truth now.
I'm not young, but I'm not old, am I? My firm's got a new managing director. He seemed to think I wasn't getting all the orders I should. I work hard. I told him the hours I put in, he'd hardly credit. He even suggested I might like to find another job, but who'd have me at my time of life?
So, you've been worrying yourself to a standstill.
Especially in the wee small hours. Things I seen blackest at 2 in the morning.
Well, giving yourself massive doses of chloral won't help matters. How the devil did you manage to get so much?
I travel all over the place. At each town or village, I asked the local doctor to renew my prescription.
Good grief.
Didn't realize there was any harm.
Harm? You've been hallucinating.
Eh?
All these soldiers and things didn't exist, except in your mind. Chloral hydrate in excess can cause hallucinations, Mr. Dunoon. I'm going to take these bottles away. I'll find you something else to help you sleep.
Never touch it again, I promise you that, Doctor. The other night, I even thought I saw a snake at the end of the bed.
Like a snake, Dr. Cameron?
Yes, yes. It's just on the one leg?
Yes.
The eye trouble? How long have you had that, Herr Kellerman?
For a few months. I cannot tolerate the bright sunshine. Sometimes the vision in my left eye is what you call...
Blood?
Indistinct, yes.
I've examined the cornea, and that tells me all I need to know. I'll just take a look at your teeth.
My teeth? But I have no trouble with my teeth.
Open wide. Just so. Thank you.
Well?
There is a characteristic deformity of the upper central incisors. I must ask you to be absolutely honest.
Honest? I have not come here to tell lies, Doctor. You
know what is wrong with me, don't you?
Yes, yes, I do. Just as you know, I believe.
The inherited poison, yes.
Inherited?
Yesterday morning when I saw my leg, then I was certain. My father had the same mark, and on his throat. Doctor, I swear to you, I have done nothing I can reproach myself with. My father inherited this taint from his father. My grandfather lived a life of debauchery. He married a drunken streetwalker. My father was a good man. When I was young, he used to be so very anxious about my health. He kept asking me questions. Now I know why. Thank God I have no brothers or sisters. I thought I had escaped the disease. I was sure it must have burned itself out. But it is not so.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry? Is that all you can say? You sit there, an old man, saying you're sorry. You've enjoyed your life. But my life has hardly begun. You are healthy, but I am poisoned, contaminated. Yet I am as innocent as you.
Sit down, Herr Kellerman.
I apologize. No, there is a great irony, is there not? We talked yesterday at the party about forgetting the past. But I am not allowed to forget. The past still lives in my blood, rotting my body. What am I to do? What am I to do?
I will make arrangements at once for you to see Sir William Kirk in Edinburgh. He is the country's leading venereologist. You must have immediate treatment.
There's a cure. You can promise me a cure.
You will have many months of treatment and observation.
But my sight. My father was blind for the last 6 years of his life. Helpless as a child. Hopeless.
Sir William is a leading authority. A brilliant man, respected throughout Europe. You do realize that your marriage to Annabella cannot take place.
What? What do you mean?
I mean exactly that. It is an appalling situation. But the marriage must be postponed for at least 18 months. You have no choice,
but
I fear.
It is all arranged. What am I to say? What am I to tell Annabella and her parents?
The truth. It is a medical problem. Not a moral one, Herr Kellerman.
But I could not tell them. It is impossible.
Annabella is intelligent. She loves you. She will understand. No blame rests on your shoulders. I will be able to give you details about a consultation with a specialist in the next 2 days.
Dr. Finlay, I just had a message from Mrs. McCall. She's terribly worried.
Oh, not that Mr. Danoon again.
Yes, she said he's raving and carrying on about a German he saw in the woods. Will you be able to go and see him?
Oh, my way, Janet. I can't wait to give Danoon a piece of my mind.
He needs a piece.
Eh?
I think he's losing his.
I tell you, Doctor, there was a German in the woods. I couldn't sleep last night, so in the early hours I got up and went out for a walk. I saw him at the foot of the hill.
Oh, yes.
He shouted something in German and ran off. I followed and watched him go down to the railway line. He stood there as if he were waiting. Then a train came, an express. He did it deliberately.
He did what?
Threw himself into the line. If he was one of the Germans that's been bothering me, he'll not trouble me again.
Mr. Danoon, there are no Germans. I explained all that. Now, if you've managed to get hold of some more chloral...
Good day, I promise.
I can't be answerable for the consequences.
You're in, Dr. Finlay. I'm sorry I'm late. But I was called out by Sergeant Bell.
Oh, Janet's cooked some delicious haddock for supper.
I don't feel hungry. Let's just sit down for a moment or two.
I'll bring in the supper in a moment, but I thought you'd both better see the evening paper. What an awful tragedy. I cannot believe it.
What tragedy? What's the matter, Janet?
There. See the headlines for yourself.
Tragic accident near Tanner Place Station.
That's why I had to see Sergeant Bell.
Herr Klaus Kellerman, age 20, holidaying in Tannockbray, was accidentally killed by a train when crossing the railway line on one of his early morning walks. The accident is all the more deplorable as the deceased was soon to be married to Miss Annabella Beaton.
cannot bear to think about it. Excuse me.
God. So, but then he wasn't hallucinating this time. He told me he saw it happen.
It is, of course, possible that the effects of his massive doses of chloral would not disappear at once, Duncan.
Well, why did Kellerman do it?
If he took his own life, it is, in this case, proper to keep silent about his reasons for doing so.
Reasons? You mean there were reasons?
In this instance, sleeping dogs had better lie. Who was it who said, "Wise men, stay silent. Let us both be wise men," without a finish.
This week's story from Dr. Finley's casebook was Wise Men Stay Silent by John Graham, featuring Andrew Cruikshank as Cameron, Barbara Mullen as Janet, and Bill Simpson as Finley. Mrs. McCall was played by Audrey Muir, Mr. Danoon by John Dunbar, Annabella by Mandy Cuthbert, and Klaus Kellerman by Sean Barrett. The characters were created by A.J. Cronin and the play produced by Edward Taylor.